I have been in America all my life.
I've
listened to many, many teachers, Bible teachers.
I've
spent some time at Bible seminary. I've heard many sermons by the most famous preachers in America. But you know what the sad thing is? I would say over 95% of all the preachers and teachers in America are mixed up verses on these principles. There are two basic principles I want to talk about. One is eternal security. Eternal security. And eternal security is by grace through faith. And it says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, our memory verse, that salvation is apart from works. Not security, I'm sorry. Eternal salvation. Eternal salvation is by grace through faith apart from works. It's a gift. Eternal salvation. It's a gift. No works. Okay, the other principle. I understand that the word reward in Nepali means something different than what we think of, right? I'm going to say repayment. Or the word means payback or wages, according to what you do, according to good or bad. So you could say payback or wages or recompense. That's a big word. What word do we want to use? In other words, you get paid according to what you do. You're paid back.
Wages.
Wages, good?
That's so good.
Okay. The other one is wages according to works. Wages according to works. Okay, now, can someone tell me what word is used that I've used in both of these principles? What word did I repeat in both of those principles? What word did I repeat in both of those principles? I mentioned one word here, and then I mentioned a similar word here. What was the word? The word is works.
Kaam.
No works. No works. Not of works. By grace you've been saved through faith. Not of works. But this is wages according to works. Can you see? Okay. I have illustration. This brother right here. Okay, this is, just stay there. The first principle is grace, and it's gift, right? Gift. Okay. Gift. Ah, he's got it. It's yours, keep it. Don't give it back. It's a gift. Keep it. It's a gift. I had a gift. Listen, all he had to do was receive it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. For salvation, all we have to do is receive it.
It's
eternal salvation. Okay, now this brother, stand up please. Okay. I have the same amount for you, but you have to run up and down here 3 times before I give it to you. Go! Go! One more, that's it. He earned it, right? Cheers, you earned it. Can you see the difference here? Yeah. Okay. So there are a lot of verses in the New Testament which seem to talk about our future with the Lord. Or, well, I don't want to complicate it. So what happens is most Christians and most preachers always think just about our eternal salvation. Will we be with God forever? So they tend to evaluate, they tend to look at all verses about the future about whether or not we're going to be saved for eternity. But when they do that, they forget something. They don't know something. This is on the chart we gave out. After this age comes to an end, and Christ comes back to earth, there are going to be two phases of His coming kingdom. One phase is 1,000 years. The other phase is eternity. This principle is talking about eternity. This principle for believers is talking mainly about this. I say mainly because there could be some part that applies here, positive could apply here, but that's okay. But anyway, this principle, well, leave that that it is. Okay. Anyway, let's just keep it simple. This principle is definitely talking only about this. Okay. The principle of wages according to works. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 12.
Verse 22:12.
Would you read? Can we read Revelation 22:12?
La, follow. Hey, Prakash 22 ko baare pad. Hera ma chaade aude shu. Harek manush lai usle gare anusar dine pratifal masanga cha.
Okay. Does this mean believers or unbelievers?
Some
says all.
Some says
just for believers. It's all. It says every man. Listen, God is going to judge every person that has ever lived.
सुन्नुस् त के छ भन्दाखि परमेश्वरले सबै मानिसलाई उहाँले न्याय गर्नुहुनेछ
and he's going to have some wages for them
अनि उनीको लागि पनि के प्रतिफल के ज्याला हुन्छ
some payback to them
उनीहरूको गरे अनुसारको उनलाई ज्याला अथवा चाहिँ उनलाई क्षतिपूर्ति भनौँ ज्याला उनलाई दिन्छन्
but this could never end up for eternal salvation because of their works
तर उनीको कामले गर्दा चाहिँ उनले काम गरे भन्दैमा कामद्वारा चाहिँ अनन्त राज्यमा उनी पुग्न सक्दैनन्
no one is good enough no one can work enough to meet God's standard of perfect righteousness
परमेश्वरको पूर्ण धर्मताको त्यो स्तरलाई पुरा गर्नको लागि कोही पनि सक्षम छैन कसैको कामद्वारा त्यहाँ पुग्न सक्दैन
so let's take the best unbeliever
अनि अब उदाहरणको लागि एकदमै राम्रो अविश्वासको बारेमा कुरा गरौँ
he or she did so many good works throughout their life
एउटा अविश्वासी अन्य जसले चाहिँ एकदमै असल राम्रो काम गर्छन्
they look like good works anyway
उनीहरूले चाहिँ असल काम गर्छन्
but
तर
when he comes before the judgment when he comes before the God's throne of judgment God cannot give him eternal salvation
उसलाई परमेश्वरले अनन्त मुक्ति दिन सक्दैन
that's definitely clear in the bible
यो भने एकदमै स्पष्ट रूपमा लेखिएको छ
in romans chapter 3
रोमी 3 अध्यायमा
God says in his sight in his view there is none that does good
अनि यहाँ बाहिरबाट बताउँछ परमेश्वरको नजरमा पवित्र दृष्टिमा असल काम गर्ने कोही पनि एकजना पनि छैन
not even one
एकजना पनि छैन
So he can't tell that person to enter into eternity as a saved person.
त्यसै कारण त्यो मान्छे जति पनि सुकै राम्रो गरे तापनि असल काम गर्दा पनि त्यो मान्छेलाई परमेश्वरले अनन्त राज्यमा प्रवेश गर्न परमिसन दिनु छैन.
Every person who doesn't believe in Christ.
येशु ख्रीष्टमा विश्वास नगर्ने हरेक मानिसहरू
will end up apart from God in eternity.
उनी चाहिँ परमेश्वरदेखि अलग भएर अनन्त हैन अनन्तको लागि चाहिँ परमेश्वरले अलग गराइनेछन्.
They will end up in a place of torment.
उनी चाहिँ बडो दुःख कष्टको ठाउँमा चाहिँ पुग्नेछन्. उनीको गन्तव्य चाहिँ त्यो ठाउँ हुनेछ.
We won't go into those details.
त्यसको विषयमा हामी विस्तृतमा जान छैनौ.
But you know what? There will be degrees of punishment there.
तर चाहिँ त्यो यातना त्यो कष्टको पनि के तह तह छ.
Hitler will be much worse off there.
अनि हिटलर चाहिँ एकदमै बडो धेरै कष्ट ठाउँ पुग्ने छ.
You know Hitler?
Do you know who Hitler is?
थाहा छ हिटलर को थिए?
Terrible man, killed millions of people.
धेरै मान्छेलाई मार्ने हैन खुसीलाई मार्ने एकदमै काम नगर्ने मान्छे
थियो. Yeah. He was an unbeliever.
उसले अविश्वासी थिए.
He will be judged by God.
उसलाई परमेश्वरले न्याय गर्नुहुनेछ.
But his wages will be bad.
उसको ज्याला भनेको राम्रो होइन, खराब ज्याला उसले पाउनेछ.
Because his works were bad.
किनकि उसको कामहरू चाहिँ एकदमै खराब थियो.
He will suffer more in eternity.
उसले अनन्तसम्म एकदमै ठूलो कष्ट यात्रा चाहिँ भोग्नु पर्ने हुन्छ.
Then another unbeliever who maybe didn't do so many evil things.
अर्को अविश्वासी नै हो जसले केही नराम्रो काम त गरेको छैन, राम्रै काम गरेको.
ओके, but that's the unbeliever.
जे होस् र राम्रो काम गरे पनि नगरे पनि ती दुवैजना अविश्वासी नै हुन्.
Actually, that judgment for the unbeliever, for all the dead unbelievers are judged at the end of the 1,000 years.
हरेक मरेका मरिसकेका होइन यो बेलासम्म मरिसकेका सबै अविश्वासीहरूको न्याय चाहिँ हजार वर्षको अन्त्यमा यहाँ नै हुन्छ.
But the believers will be judged just before the 1,000 year starts.
तर विश्वासीहरू चाहिँ यो हजार वर्षको राज्य हुनुभन्दा अगाडि उनलाई न्याय गराइन्छ.
2 Corinthians chapter
5.
Verse 10.
What he's asking is, in the reigning kingdom, only those who have been martyred for Jesus, only they will be there with Jesus.
No, there'll be more. There'll be more. There's a lot of verses you have to consider, but there'll be more. Let's just take one thing at a time. What's he saying?
Obviously, whether they understand or not, what he's saying.
Okay. All right. Let me just say this much. To help this. With this matter of future judgment, there are a lot of details. We cannot cover every detail. But I have been studying this matter for almost 40 years. And I have some of the best books that I study.
Written by other men.
And I've even had correspondence with some other teachers in the United States. So I'm just trying to say this matter has been given a lot of consideration and thought. But the main thing I'm trying to say today is this. These two principles govern a lot of verses in the Bible. You don't want to mix verses up. I'm going to give an illustration in just a minute so you'll understand what I'm talking about. But let's read 2
Corinthians 5:10. किनकि हामी सबै ख्रीष्टका न्याय आसनको सामने खडा हुनुपर्छ यसरी शरीरमा हुँदा आफूले गरे बमोजिम हरेकले असल वा खराब प्रतिफल पाउनेछ.
Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth. When trying to interpret the Bible.
त पाउलले चाहिँ नि यो बाइबल कुरालाई चाहिँ व्याख्या गर्न खोज्दैछ.
You should first look at, well, who's this written to? Okay, so here we say, okay, it's written to believers. And Paul is including himself. Because he says, we must all appear. So he's speaking about himself and those believers, so he means believers must all appear. So this verse has to do with believers. And he says before the judgment seat of Christ that the judgment seat in the Roman and Jewish world was for legal matters to be settled. Maybe the person could be innocent. Maybe the person could be guilty. The judge sits there. He looks at all the evidence and then makes a decision. It might mean a person could go to prison. It might mean somebody is declared innocent of a false charge.
But the
judge decides.
Okay.
So here in this verse, it says that wages will be paid for all the things done in the body. And the wages will be paid according to whether the things were good or bad. If there were good deeds, then a good wage or a good payment. If there are bad deeds, then there's something bad paid to that person. Maybe they would go to jail. So there's a potential for a believer either to get a positive payment or a negative penalty at the judgment seat. Jesus will evaluate everything that person has done since they've been a believer, not since before a believer. Obviously, we've done some things good and some things bad. But Jesus will evaluate all the facts together. Actually, Now let me show you how people misapply verses. Do they mix up these verses with these two principles? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In chapter 6, here's the background.
Verse
1 tells us that some of the believers were having a lawsuit against other believers. And Paul says, how dare you sue one another instead of just going before the saints to decide the issue? Now he goes down to verse 7 and he says, you're defeated already because you have lawsuits with one another. He says, why not rather be wronged? Verse
7.
What he's saying here is, you shouldn't sue your Christian brother. Sue. Have a lawsuit against him. A case against him. In the legal court. It's better just to suffer, he says. And then he talks in verse 8 that some of the believers, you yourselves wrong and defraud, and you do this even to your brothers. So the context of this verse, and we're in now, the context of these verses. Mistreating other believers. Cheating them and doing wrong to them. This is the context just before we get to the next verse. In verse
9.
No, actually read verse 9 and 10. Read the 9 and 10.
아들들이 परमेश्वरको राज्यको हकदार हुँदैन हुँदैनन् भन्ने के तिमीलाई थाहा छैन? धोका नखाऊ। अनैतिकहरु, मूर्ति पूजकहरु, व्यभिचारीहरु, समलिङ्गीहरु, पुरुषगामीहरु, चोरहरु, लोभीहरु, मत्तालाहरु, निन्दा गर्नेहरु, लुटाहरु परमेश्वरको राज्यको हकदार हुने छैनन्। तिमीहरू कोही यस्तै थियो तर तिमीहरू धोइयो, पवित्र पारियो, प्रभु यीशु ख्रीष्टको नाममा हाम्रो परमेश्वरका आत्माद्वारा निर्दोष ठहरायो।
So he's warning these believers, if they continue with these types of lifestyle, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's talking about this phase of Christ's kingdom. I don't have time to prove to you why he's talking about this phase of the kingdom, but this is what he means when he says the kingdom of God. If you read this book, it will give you a lot more details. The second part of the book. Okay, so here's what people do when they misinterpret the Bible. A preacher reads verses 9 and 10. Oh, he says, anybody that lives that lifestyle will not go to heaven and they will go to hell. Why does he think that way? Because he thinks everything is about eternal salvation. He has no knowledge about this area of reward for 1,000 years. It's like we have two, take your Bible off of there, Mara. We'll move it aside a minute. It's like we have two places here. This is principle of eternal salvation by grace. No works. This is principle of wages according to works. So the preacher reads this verse and says, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says that's talking about eternal salvation. So he's saying a believer can lose their salvation. If they live in a sinful lifestyle. He says that verse belongs on the salvation side. I'm not trying to criticize the preacher. He just doesn't understand all the Word of God. The reason why it can't belong to salvation, number
one.
Salvation does not have anything to do with works, our doings. But these verses are talking about the doings of people. Idolaters, adulterers, drunkards, these are all doings.
Right?
He says you can lose your salvation because of your doings. But salvation has nothing to do with our doings. It's not talking about salvation. Eternal salvation. It's talking about wages. What Jesus will give you for your wages at the judgment seat of Christ.
अनि यहाँहरु चाहिँ प्रभु यीशुले हामीलाई चाहिँ न्याय आसन अगाडि कुन प्रकारको झ्याला दिने छ भन्ने कुरामा बताएको हो.
Jesus wants to give every believer the best possible wages.
यीशुले हरेक विश्वासीलाई एकदमै अति नै उत्तम असल इनाम दिन चाहनुहुन्छ.
So he encourages us to live for God. He encourages us to run the Christian race. For the prize. That's to have full participation in the kingdom with Christ. Now I'm going to talk about a few verses that show positive prize.
सकारात्मक इनामको विषयमा के कुरा पदहरू पढ्न चाहन्छु.
But before I do that, I want to reassure you of one thing.
त्योभन्दा अगाडि म तपाईँलाई अरू निश्चित गर्न चाहन्छु.
Maybe you say, but I've done some bad things since I became a believer. Have I already lost out for a positive wage?
मैले चाहिँ सकारात्मक यसको कारणले सकारात्मक झ्यालालाई इनाममा मैले गुमाउँछु होला त.
No.
होइन.
In the Bible there are two aspects of forgiveness.
बाइबलमा दुई क्षमाको दुई पक्षहरू छन्.
One aspect is of eternal forgiveness.
त्यही बाइबलमा चाहिँ दुई प्रकारको दुई पक्षको क्षमा छन्. एउटा चाहिँ अनन्त समयको लागि क्षमा.
Ephesians 1:7.
क्षमाको दुई पक्षहरू छ. एक पक्ष भनेको चाहिँ अनन्त समयको लागि क्षमा हो, अनन्तको क्षमा हो. Ephesians 1:7.
You want to read that verse for us, Mun?
वहाँको अपार अनुग्रह अनुसार ख्रीष्टको रगतद्वारा हामी वहाँमा उद्धार र हाम्रो पापको क्षमा पाउँछौँ.
This is the forgiveness of all of our sins.
यो चाहिँ हाम्रो सबै पापको क्षमा हो.
Because of what?
यो केको कारणले गर्दा भनेदेखि
redemption through his blood.
यीशुको रगतको उद्धारद्वारा.
All my sins, whether sins I've committed in the past or the ones I will commit in the future.
अनि मैले पहिला गरेको पाप होस्, विगतमा गरेको पाप होस्, भविष्यमा गर्ने पाप होस्, त्यो चाहिँ अनन्तसम्मको पापलाई चाहिँ क्षमा गरे हुन्छ.
All have been eternally forgiven.
त्यो चाहिँ अनन्तसम्मको लागि क्षमा दिए हुन्छ.
Because of the blood of Christ.
यीशुको रगतको कारणले गर्दाखि.
But there's another aspect of forgiveness, another type of forgiveness.
अब यहाँ अर्को पक्ष क्षमाको अर्को पक्ष पनि छ, अर्को थरी क्षमा पनि छ.
It has to do with our daily walk with God.
त्यो चाहिँ हाम्रो दैनिक जीवनसँगको
our fellowship with the Lord. That's in 1 John chapter 1.
यो चाहिँ पहिलो योहन्नाको 1.
First John is all about fellowship with the Lord. If you read chapter 1, it's all about our fellowship, our communion with God. And in our daily walk, if we sin, that communion is broken. But if we confess our sin, it says in verse 9, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, when we do sin, if we have a repentance about that sin and confess it to God, yes, Lord, I was wrong. That was a sin. Forgive me, Lord. I don't want to do that again by your grace. This sin is covered with this fellowship, forgiveness, and the blood of Christ. So when you confess that sin and turn away from it, I do not, that sin will not come up at the judgment seat of Christ. That will not be counted against you. But if you persist in sin, if you keep doing sin, and you want to go away from God, then that may be something that is shows up at the judgment seat of Christ. So you should not be afraid, oh, I sinned and now this is going to bother me at the judgment seat of Christ. No, God wants to restore our fellowship. God wants to forgive that sin that you've broken the fellowship. He wants you to start walking afresh in the light with Him. He doesn't want to hold that against you at the judgment seat. But we must be serious about dealing with issues in our life. Okay, I'm just going to mention five crowns. Five crowns, that real briefly, we won't be long. The Lord wants us to be in that 1,000-year kingdom with Him. He wants to give all of us some crowns. But it's not guaranteed. It depends on our faithfulness, our cooperation with the Lord. Okay. In 1 Corinthians, just write these down because we're going to have, we don't want to take, I have them on the sheet. There's a crown called the imperishable crown. That's 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Now let's do look at that one real quick. This is the one talking about the prize. Read
24-27, please.
Paul was running the Christian race to get the prize. The prize is a positive appraisal and reward from Christ at the judgment seat. Here's Brother Mun. That he ran his Christian race very hard. He wanted to please the Lord with his life. Someday he will come before the judgment seat of Christ. And he ran well. Christ says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Come in and enjoy my kingdom for 1,000 years. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. But notice in verse 27, First of all, this whole passage is about keeping his body under control. All the sinful things that could come out of the body. In verse 27 he says, I discipline my body. I make it my slave instead of it ruling him. So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. What's the word actually in your version for disqualified? I myself. What's it mean?
Unqualified.
Unqualified. Okay, good translation. Good translation. All right. It doesn't mean he's going to get lost again. See, but some preachers read this and say, oh, if he didn't do real well in the race, he's going to go to hell. No, if Paul preached to others and did not continue to keep his body under discipline, he could be disqualified to get the positive prize. Okay, because of time, I'm just going to mention these other crowns. There's the crown of rejoicing. Write down the verse. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Okay. There's the crown of righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 4:8. There's the crown of life. James 1:12. And the crown of life is also mentioned in Revelation 2:10. And the last crown is the crown of glory. That's in 1 Peter 5:2-4. The first crown was the imperishable crown we read. That's awarded for self-control. You kept all the sins of the body under control. The crown of rejoicing is for fruitful labor in the lives of others. The crown of righteousness is for righteous living, which comes from loving the Lord's appearing. We'll talk more about that later, another time. The crown of life is for enduring under great trial and persecution. The trial may be some difficulty in your life. Maybe you have a terrible health problem. But you're still enduring in faithfulness to the Lord and not being bitter. Or it may be persecution for your faith. You're enduring and you keep staying faithful to the Lord in the midst of persecution. Christ will award to you the crown of life. You will reign with him for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. And the last one, the other crown was the crown of glory. The crown of glory is for the elders. The church elders who are faithful, who shepherd the flock, not for money, not for glory, but truly caring for the sheep. So we get to reign with Christ. But there's one more part of the reward which is very special. You'll have to read the sheet and the book to get the references. But we have the life of God now. And God's life is an eternal life. And we know eternal life now in our experience. If write this verse down. John 17:3. Just read John 17:3. Eternal life is knowing the Lord. Knowing Jesus Christ. And then that's in the present life. That's right now we know the Lord. But I want you to go for a moment to Mark chapter 10. And I want you to read verses 28 through 30. Peter says, what is there for us if we leave everything to follow the Lord? This is talking about not when we get saved, but how do we follow the Lord in our Christian life? The Lord says, if you're willing to leave everything, not everyone will leave their house or their land. The Lord is basically saying, if you're willing to follow me no matter what I ask you, are you willing to leave your house, your family, and all those things? Basically, it's saying, are you willing to drop what you want, forget what you want, and pay everything to follow me? If you are, here's something he's going to do for you. He says, in the present age, you will have houses and sisters and lands, etc. This is where we are now in this age. If we follow the Lord, pay the price to fully follow the Lord.
यदि हामी आज प्रभुलाई पछ्याउँछ प्रभुलाई पछ्याउनको लागि जुन सुकै
मूल्य छुवा
तयारी छ भने देखि
we will have so many brothers and sisters we will have so much I can go in their house they can come in my house
अनि हैन यस धेरै हुन्छन् आ म उनी घरमा जान्छु धेरै घरमा जान सक्छु उनी मेरो घरमा आउन सक्छन्
and then he says listen to this and in the age to come
र वाले भन्नुहुन्छ आउँदो युगमा आउने युगमा
eternal life
आउँदो युगमा चाहिँ अनन्त जीवन
the age to come is this right here
आउँदो आउने युग भनेको यो
this is an age This is another age. But in the Bible, the age to come specifically means this age. He says, you'll get eternal life then. I thought we already had eternal life. We do have eternal life, the life of God. We do know the Lord and we do experience the presence of the Lord. But just as there was an increase of houses and lands and so forth for following the Lord in this age, this promise is saying there will be an increase of your knowing of the Lord, your experience of the Lord in the age to come. Here's my best way of describing this. I want you to think about the best time you ever had the Lord's presence. Maybe you were worshiping the Lord. Maybe you were in music and worshiping the Lord. Or maybe the Lord just did a miracle in your family you had prayed for years. And you were so much in the presence of the Lord. I want you to take your best experience of Christ. Then multiply that by 100 times. Okay, and then I want you to stretch that out for 1,000 years. That's the wages you're going to get. The fullness of eternal life for 1,000 years. The greatest experience of Christ you ever had. Caught up in the love and presence of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you want that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
The bad wages?
Bad wages?
Yeah, for the believers. Yeah, they may have some curiosity to know.
I know they're going to have curious.
Yeah.
See, but that's what I said. There's a lot of details.
Yeah.
And I can maybe say
yeah,
a little
least,
something.
Yeah,
a
least.
Little something. But these things take... I've actually written a book that has that included in it, but I don't have the book in print. And but I'll cover a few things maybe. And I know it raises a lot of questions because people want to say, well, what could happen to me, you know? But I should have read, and I will read tomorrow that verse. You know, the verse on the judgment seat was 2 Corinthians 5:10. The verse before that is so important because Paul said, I do everything to please the Lord, for we all must appear for the judgment of Jesus Christ. This was a huge motive in Paul's life to be pleasing to the Lord because he knew he would have to appear for this judgment seat. And he wanted to please the Lord now to get a positive reward. This was one of the biggest motivations in Paul's life. He says, I make it my ambition to be pleasing to the Lord because I'll appear. And then in the same chapter it also talks about serving the Lord because we love them. So we have two motivations. One is because we love the Lord, and the other is because we know we're going to face an accounting at the judgment seat of Christ.